fame and fortune and accolades, they all promise to be life fillers. They all promise to be life fillers. People will pursue these as a way to add into their soul something that they feel is missing. And yet, it's odd how fame and fortune and accolades promise so big and yet serve up kind of a toxin to the soul. In fact, there's another one that I didn't mention. There's also the pursuit of family to be a life filler. But you know, family's difficult, right? I've got a lot of my family here with me this morning. They all came in from San Angelo to help us, and I love them, but you know, family is great. There are many ways in which we seek to fill our life, but I want to remind you, we don't usually like fillers. If you buy meat, ground beef at the shop, if you buy taco filling is not completely beef. Did you know that? It has lots of filler in it. So if you're used to buying taco filling and you think you're buying beef, that is a particular designation. It's kind of gross to think about. We don't generally like fillers, but all of these matters, fame and fortune and family and accolades, they are just that. They are fillers that end up doing damage to our souls rather than building a resurrected life and a redeemed life. Rather than giving us purpose and meaning, they extract from us and they cause decay and decline in us. You can't substitute a full life with fillers. You need something that actually makes life full. And so there's some surveys done recently. Some 58% of our 18 to 25 year olds express a daily feeling of meaninglessness and purposelessness. That means from the time they graduate until they get through college, they're really struggling to find out whether their life matters in any meaningful way, whether they have any purpose and direction at all. It represents having an empty life that is looking for something to fill it up. And so today, what we want to talk about is gaining a full life by living from the spiritual self. You see, the problem we have with fillers, with everything that the world says, this will give you a full life, is that they all are toxic to our souls. You only get the real thing when you're fed the real thing. And only through the work of Christ in you can you live and gain a full life. But I do want to promise you this, you can gain a full life. It's not impossible. It's not even that complicated. And so today we're going to talk about what it means to grab hold of that full life by living through our spiritual selves. Take your Bibles. Because we don't want theories of humans, we want the truth of the Scripture. Turn to 2 Peter, verse 1. We've been walking through the book of 2 Peter these last few weeks. We're going to pick up at an awkward spot in verse 10, but that's because we left off at verse 9 last week, so it makes sense. It's a little awkward for the flow of thought, but I think as we work this out, we're going to have to reach back and grab hold of a few things, but you'll be able to hang with me. So you want to open your Bibles or click into your Bibles and keep them open. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. And here's what the Scripture reads. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would guide us in your word. Help us to hear from you. Father, to have a full life through the spiritual things that you provide. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice in my ESV version, in verse 10, he tells us to be all the more diligent to confirm, and it's this, what seems like two things, calling and election, to confirm your calling and election. But probably it's more something like elective calling, to confirm your elective calling. The idea here is that God has chosen you. Now, some of you are like, okay, so I guess this is going to be a message on Calvinism. Absolutely isn't. This is going to be a message from this text. And Peter, our author, is very clear that when you come to salvation, it was no mistake and God wasn't surprised. And in fact, he called you to it. He chose you for it. And in that calling, he has empowered and strengthened you. We reach all the way back to verse 2, where notice what he says, verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So when you got saved, when you received this elective calling, you were fully equipped with all things that lead to life and godliness. What does all things mean? It's a lot of things, right? He says, if you want a full life, trusting in Christ has made that accessible to you. All things that pertain to life and godliness has to mean a full life. And then notice how he goes through. He says, what agency will bring you, what agent will take you to that full life? The all things that pertain to life and godliness, he says, the knowledge of him who called us. That is the knowledge of Jesus, what he has spoken to us, what he has taught us, what he says through his spirit, what is in the scripture, that those are the things that guide us and take us. That knowledge takes us to God. Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. You realize that our faith in Jesus was not a blind leap. It was a knowing leap. You had to have information before you could believe. And when you heard the message of Christ and you trusted in the message of Christ, then you made the leap by faith. So none of us stumbles into salvation. Somebody had to tell us the truth about Christ. And when we believed, we got access to the treasury of God. All things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't know if you're like me. I would love a full life. I would love a full life. No, nobody else? Thought maybe I was the only one. I thought maybe you guys were looking for a half life. That's okay. If you want a half life, I need to stop preaching. You're not motivated. But you know what? Most of us live a half life. Because we don't access the fullness of who God is. We're given the truth, but we don't take hold of it. You see, a full life requires the application of spiritual knowledge to daily pursuits. A full life requires the application of spiritual knowledge to daily pursuits. You're like, well, tell me where to get this spiritual knowledge. Oh. You have it. In hand. You're reading it right now. The spiritual knowledge is delivered practically to us, and we call it the Bible. Most of our Bibles are dusty at home, and our lives are incomplete. There is a correlation, in fact, a causation between those two realities. And that's what he lays out to us. Verse 12, notice what he says about his readers. He says, I know that you are established in the truth that you have. He says, listen, my purpose is not to tell you something you don't know. My purpose is to remind you. In fact, from verse 12 to verse 15, I want you to see what he says. I intend always to remind you. Right? So he says it there. And then at the end of verse 13, to stir you up by way of reminder. And then verse 15, so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. You notice that? In three verses, he's really interested in reminding them so that they remember and can recall. We get into situations in life, folks, and often we're like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? It's either because we haven't invested in knowing what to do, we don't know the scripture, or because we forget, we lose our heads, we get stressed by the moment, and we make the wrong decision that's contrary to God. In this passage, he's laying out, listen, some of you are low information. You're looking for the kind of spiritual knowledge that you want. You know what's really become hip these days? It's back in. It's been around for a long time. Astrology, zodiac, horoscope. It's back in. Like it kind of went away in the 90s. We were too intellectual for that. Now everybody's trying to figure out what life is about, how to find a good spouse, all of that stuff. And so they've reverted to things that are thousands of years old and were just as big a gimmick when they were created back then as they still are now. And so we go hunting for signs from the heavens. And what scripture lays out for us is that it itself, the scripture itself, is testimony of the fullness of what God has for us. When taken and applied, you begin to understand the daily pursuit you should be about, and you can see where you're in error in the daily pursuits that you are about. The scripture does two things for us. It sets our attention on the right things from God, and it scalpels away by way of saying, hey, you know, that's outside the scripture. It shows us both the brokenness that's in our souls, and it shows us the wrongness of our direction. Folks, I know some of us want to do the gentle parenting thing, and we want to be all positive all the time. I'm just going to encourage. I'm never going to chastise. I want you to know something. The world doesn't work that way. The world is chastisement, pain, hardship, and it shapes us, doesn't it? In fact, all of our therapists and counselors, they're back there saying, you're shaped by your past trauma. You know why? Because pain is a huge teacher. And God will deliver to us sanctified pain to transform our soul. And he will also encourage us. God believes in sticks and carrots. He doesn't gentle parent us. He enforces his will, his design, his direction, because it is right, because he is right. And what he is right about is good for our souls. You see, you were meant to know Christ Jesus and to live out of that relationship. Jesus founded your origin of faith, and he delivers to you the end of your faith. Your elective calling is because God looked through time and he saw who you are, exactly where you're at, and all the issues and problems and brokenness that you showed up with today. He saw you, he chose you, he died for you, he resurrected for you. And he said, that one is going to be my son or my daughter, and they're going to live forever in the eternal inheritance. I want you to think about how huge that is. Because it means you could have never been too broken for his salvation. And you never get away from where he's taking you. So, you know what we're talking about in a full life? We're talking about the mushy middle between the selection, the ratification of what God was doing when you trusted in Jesus, when you said, yes, Lord, I believe. and the delivery of that inheritance when you arrive at the eternal kingdom. We're talking about that short little period of time. You know, my granddad is 89 years old, and he won't mind me telling you this, he's an old man. I mean, 89 is old, right? I don't think it's being ungentle or unkind to say he's old. My granddad would say, Kevin, I'm an old man. He would admit it. He would embrace it. He kind of loves it. He's so old that he feeds all these cats now. I don't know where that happened. But anyway, they're all outside cats. There's not a single inside cat, but they're his mouse patrol, I guess. And so he pulls in. He's got this minivan. He doesn't take the cat food bag out of the back of the van anymore. He just like cuts it open and vents it out into a bucket and then lets the cats eat out of it. That's how old he is. He's not even going to bother to unload the van when he brings the cat food home. He's got it worked out as a system. If you knew my granddad built B-2 bombers, okay? So he's like, but he's figured it out. You know why he's not embarrassed to not even take the food out of the back of the van? You know why? Because he's old. And it doesn't matter anymore. Right, what are you going to fault him? 89 years old, you couldn't trouble yourself to pull it out of the van? You're not going to say that to an 89-year-old man. You're going to be like, you know what, that's really wise. That's what I should do. Right? Why? Because my granddad is knocking on the doorway to his eternal inheritance when he'll no longer be an old man laboring under the load of this world. And when he dies and he passes, we'll say, this man lived a full life. You know why? Because he lived for Jesus and he walked with Jesus and then he received the rewards from Jesus into the eternal inheritance. And while we're putting him in the ground, we'll be celebrating that he awaits a renewed body in heaven. That's a full life. And that's what he lays out for us. He says, listen, it's that mushy middle where the full life can begin, where it occurs, because the beginning and the ending are established fact under the power of God. And so here we are living out what God has put in front of us that others might know this full life that we've been given. You see, a full life makes you durable and stable. And he notes that. He says, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. That's verse 10. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. These qualities points back to what he began to talk about in verse 5. When he said, we are to make every effort to supplement or to add to or to complete our faith, which was given us by Jesus, we add to that virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection. And then we cap it all off with this committed sacrificial love that Christ has shown us. Those qualities are what he's talking about. So if you invest your life in those qualities, you begin to manifest the fullness of life that God elected and called you to. It is your elective calling to express those qualities. And when you do that, it makes you durable and stable. Anybody feel like the world is setting on the verge, on the edge? Whatever the abyss is, like we're on the edge of that. You know why you turn on the news? It's not because you really care about all that stuff. It's you're just wondering when the breaking news headline is going to hit that the world is coming to an end. It's, you know what 90% of news is? It's negative news. I don't think you're watching it to be encouraged. You watch some hokey sitcom for encouragement and levity, but you don't watch the news for that. So when you go to the news, they just tell you how bad the world is and how everybody's political and everybody hates each other and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, well, I kind of like my neighbors. Not everybody's bad. I support the other political party, but, they bring me cookies every once in a while. We're all right, I think. See, like you go to the people you know and life doesn't seem that bad, but you look out into the news and it looks like it's about to catch fire any moment now. And what he tells us is that, listen, for us who have trusted in Christ, that full life, that mushy middle that we're working on, it makes us durable and stable. It causes us to endure, to be steadfast when life presses in on us. I don't think people fall away from Jesus while sitting in church. They fall away from Jesus when they've got too much downtime, when they're bored, when they're listless, when they're not headed any direction, when they don't have or feel or experience meaning and purpose, when they allow themselves the luxuries of the moment, they indulge their flesh, then the fall gains momentum. And for every preacher that we look out there that has fallen, there is thousands others who have done likewise, but nobody cared. And Peter lays out. He says, listen, I'm going away. He says, verse 14, I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. In other words, I'll be dead soon. And I want you to know how to do this on your own. This is like every parent's sending off their kids to college. You're like, okay, now remember, you can call me if you need something. You know how to look at your bank account. You know how to feed yourself, right? No, you have a meal ticket. Yes, yes, okay, good. And go, and we cross our fingers. Let's hope this works out. And they go away. This is like Peter saying, I just want you to remember how you were raised. I want you to know what you always knew. I want you to recall those things, because if you follow how you are raised and brought up in the faith, you will continue and you won't fall by the wayside. That's interesting. I did a little research on this. There's a phenomenon called the high-speed wobbles. So you can have a perfectly good motorcycle. That's never been a thing for me, but maybe you like motorcycles. Anyway, they will be stable. They'll be stable at really high speeds. But sometimes, because of the changing frequency caused by the movement, the vibration, and all that kind of stuff, they will develop at high speeds what's called the death wobbles or the high-speed wobbles. And they're nearly always catastrophic. It's not actually caused by the motorcycle itself. It's caused by imperfections in the balancing of that motorcycle. So if you don't keep your air pressure at the right phase, in other words, don't drive really fast unless you really take good care of your stuff, is kind of the theme. Because at certain frequencies, at certain pace, at the speed of life that you're going, then it can develop into instability. It's not that the problem didn't exist when you were at low speeds. It's just that you hadn't hit that critical number. And you know what? For many of us, that's our life. There are critical deficiencies, unmaintenanced parts of our life, places where we are forgetting the knowledge of God and what God has provided to us, places in the qualities that He's given us, in our virtue, in our knowledge, in our self-control, in our steadfastness, in our godliness, in our brotherly affection, in our love. Places in those that we are not working on them diligently as we should. And when we hit that circumstance, the right resonance of life, we are going to stumble and fall. That's what Peter is concerned about. He's not concerned about issues that develop. He's talking about underlying instability that's already there. And if your faith, if your knowledge is incomplete, you are open to this failure. And instability in life sets in whenever we get distracted by lesser things, when we believe in lesser gods, like the bottle, like pornography, like social media, that's what it means to be perfect, like that kind of stuff. Like, here's what success is, but it's the wrong picture of success when you believe in lesser gods or you pursue lesser outcomes. You are called to be sons and daughters of the Father in heaven. If there's a lesser goal that you settle for, a lesser life that you grow comfortable in, you will be unstable. Listen, this doesn't mean one must be perfect now. It means one never gets comfortable in their imperfection. So my father-in-law and brother-in-law came in to help us with this little project at our house, and super grateful for them and super blessing, and the whole fam came with them, so we've had a great time. But you know, I gotta tell you, working with my brother-in-law, who does this all the time and knows exactly his trade in construction, and especially the stuff we were doing, I know as he was down there cutting for me, and I had to hand boards back to him and say, hey, will you cut this again? He's probably like, oh man, I gotta work with this guy. I assume all the problem was with me, because I know Josh well enough to know that he would have been perfect every time if I had just given him the right material. But to acknowledge where you are deficient is not weakness. It's knowing your brokenness. You need to know at what speed you're going to hit that instability. You need to see your life for what it is, because certainly the Lord sees it for what it is. It didn't stop him in seeing your life for what it is. It didn't stop him from selecting you or calling you to accomplish his purposes. And so that's why Peter can say, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. He says, live it out in daily pursuits. Don't quit when you fail. Get back up and go again. That's what he tells us. He says, listen, you've got to have some durability. You've got to have some grit in your faith. If you get knocked off by sickness, if you get knocked out of rhythm by relationship problems, if you get knocked off your faith because a preacher fails, listen, if any of those things are out there awaiting you, listen, things can fall apart. You can get bad outcomes. You can lose a job. That stuff happens. But it does not mean you have to be unstable in your faith. It means you got to work on those areas of weakness. You know, childhood is pretty much all about working on areas of weakness. That's what childhood is about. That's what parenting is about. It starts with spoons. You give a child a spoon, and they don't know what you're talking about, because God gave them two forks. And you want me to use the spoon? Are you crazy adults in my life? But you know what? Eventually, well, mostly, they figure it out. I've seen some of you eat and you didn't know, you still don't know there's silverware. You need to upgrade your skills, but they figure it out, right? Because they start where they start and they have to grow into it. So here's the reality. Full life pursuits are top of mind behaviors and attitudes. Full life pursuits are top of mind behaviors and attitudes. Verse 15, he's very clear. I want you at any time to be able to recall these things. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen to you. It has to be top of mind focus. You have to decide that I'm going to grow up. You have to decide that you're going to focus on areas that need improvement. You can't sit in church passively. You have to say, what is there here in the text for me that I can work on this week? You can't get better by being here. You can get bored by being here, but you can't get better by being here. Only when you engage the scripture do you begin to grow. So it's got to be top of mind. So I watched this show. I don't know how true it was. But this F1 car racer, in order to know the track that he was going to drive on, he made a practice of doing his exercise, his cardio exercise, by running the track. So he would get out and he would run laps on the track before race. And as he ran those laps on the track, he would be getting familiar. Turn, turn, turn. And in so doing, he became familiar. You see, what he wanted at the top of his mind and what he wanted to grow from top of mind down implicitly into his instincts were these turns, this track, this feel, the environment, all of that. And if you don't begin with spiritual matters at top of mind, listen, we have a very revivalist tradition, all right, meaning Baptist and kind of these free church folks that have altar calls at the end and all that kind of stuff. That's called a revivalist tradition. It means that we expect during the singing and during the preaching of the word for you to hear from God and to respond immediately. Now, I think that's great. Sometimes, however, we get in the moment, we feel a lot of emotion, and we're not sure what we're walking toward. So I've learned over time that I want to see somebody walk an aisle and then walk past the aisle into their life for a few weeks to know and certify that a transformation and a change has taken place. Our growth is not a lightning strike on a dark night. It's a growing sunrise, brightness in the day that tells you that you're developing. And so top of mind pursuits create this full life for us. So what are some of those qualities of a full life? All right, first, set your starting point in election and calling or elective calling. Your starting point is there. You say, when did I hear from God? Do I belong to Him? Because if you can say that I started with Jesus, that He called me and He set me to work, then you have two important things in your that are top of mind. Number one, you know that you're responsible to Jesus. And number two, you know that you're intentioned by Jesus. It really matters that you understand that you were chosen by God. It really matters. If you think you earned your way in because you were good enough, you're stumbled already. But God looked down, and through the cross, He saw you, and He said, Daniel, I want you. Kevin, I want you. And then He did the work. And when He called me, when He elected me, He then said, Kevin, here's your task. Get to work and grow up. Number two, be intentional about your focus. Somebody ever said they're serving one thing for dinner and then you ended up with something different? And they didn't tell you till after the plate was set? You're going to get lasagna tonight. And so you go home and you're looking forward to lasagna and you think it a little weird anyway that there's no lasagna, because those take like forever to cook. There's no lasagna in the oven. But you're like, well, you know, Tracy's a pro. Maybe something else is coming down the line. So no lasagna in the oven. Oven's not even on. You look around in the fridge, because maybe I've done this before. Look around in the fridge, and there's no lasagnas in there. You go to the deep freeze. There's not one frozen there. Not that you would know how it would get warm enough in time. And so you start to have this sneaky suspicion that maybe lasagna isn't, maybe that's not what we're eating. But, you know, it is about still like 30 minutes until you're supposed to eat this imaginary lasagna. So you come up with other ways it might show up. You're not sure. But then she comes home and she's like, hey, I got Chipotle. Is that okay? I mean, yeah, it's okay, because I wouldn't have eaten if you didn't bring something. But I was wondering where the lasagna was. I mean, not you don't have to make the lasagna, but like you told me it was lasagna night and you didn't tell me otherwise, and now we're with Chipotle, and that's okay too, and I love you, and you're great, and you always do great things for me, but I still kind of missing the lasagna, right? Okay, listen, folks. You've got to be intentional about your focus, because if you promise yourself one thing and you deliver and you work toward something else, it's a hard thing to process in your brain, and you get distracted. If you say, I want to serve the Lord, and then you spend all your life pursuing money, you will fall that way. So you have to intend, you have to say, I'm going to grow in regards to my godliness. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to grow in regards to my self-control. I've got these issues, these places where I'm out of control, and I'm going to work on those. Be intentional about your focus. Tell the Lord what's on the menu, and then listen to Him as He talks back about that. He will guide what you need to work on. Number three, value your inheritance. You realize you have a limitless future. You have a limitless future. One that is secured in the power and the work of Jesus. So you need to value your inheritance. You know, if I, in 10 years, was going to inherit $40 million, that changes my financial situation, don't you think? I mean, if you knew that you knew, you're like, I just got to make it 10 years from now. And it would probably be a really negative impact on me. Right, it'd probably be a really negative impact on me. But here's what I'm telling you. The God who has elected you has called you to that end, and you have to value your inheritance. He looks forward to you walking through the doors of His eternal kingdom and continually enjoying fellowship with you for all time. That's a beautiful inheritance that He's called you to. And you need to value that inheritance, because He's not just a God far away. He's a God near, but you will face Him and look in His physical eyes. Jesus Christ was dead, but He was resurrected. He didn't leave a body in the grave and just resurrect spiritually, but He took His body. You know what that means? That means that His features as a man, you will stand there and you will look at Him man to man or woman to man. You catch what I'm saying? You're going to look at His physical face. That's how Jesus eternally exists. God in flesh. That wasn't just for the time while He was on the planet, but that is forever. And so you will talk to Him in that way, using, I believe, human language to interact with God. So you need to value that inheritance and value that future. Number four, attach your pursuit to Christ, not a human leader. I want you to know something. All us pastors and all us ministers will disappoint you. We come and we go. We rise and we fall. We have better days and we have worse days. And our church as a whole, and all churches that I know, they cycle through, because people find their stability in the man who delivers the text rather than in the God who wrote the text. And if you don't attach your pursuit to Christ, you won't make it past your guy or your gal going away. And He makes this clear. He says, listen, I'm reminding you, right? That's what He tells them a bunch of times. While I'm in the body, I'm reminding you of these things so that when I'm gone, you can recall them. I want you to remember them. Plant them in your mind because they're from God. Attach your spiritual future to the eternity of who Christ is, not to the temporality of who the apostle was. We don't live with the apostles of the Lord surrounding us anymore, right? They're not handing down papal edicts, no matter what they say. We're living in a time where flesh comes and goes. And if you don't attach your pursuit to Christ, then a human leader will let you down and you'll fall. And that's exactly His intention, to keep you stable, to keep us living this full life, feeding into the life we have and purging this life from the brokenness that's in it. What happens? Well, if you forget these things, here's what's going on in your life right now. If you've forgotten what God is doing, if you're low information, you didn't know what you should expect God to do, then here's what's happening. Right now, you're filling your life with fillers. So here's my question. What is the filler substituted right now? What is the filler that substitutes for a full life? What are you leaning on? Is it fame? Is it fortune? Is it accolades? You really hope the boss notices you at work? Maybe it's something that seems far more righteous, like family. I just want to have a good family. And you're depending on your family to fill your life for you. I want you to know those are all fillers. Family's important. Our family should improve. We should grow, all that kind of stuff. But if all of them fail you, will you still be with Jesus? A full life is different than all those fillers. Maybe you're filling your life with entertainment. You're going to entertain yourself to death. You're escaping rather than engaging. Maybe it's compulsive sin has ownership over you and it drags you to despair. Maybe you're filling your life with distractions. You're just trying to keep away from bad news, whatever it takes. Maybe it's travel. You've gone everywhere because you don't want to deal with life as it is here. Whatever it is, it's time to yield that up. You see, the call today is to get top of mind what needs to be worked on and to get on top, at top of mind how you need to grab hold of that full life. Will you stand with me? We're going to pray. Team's going to return.